The City of Richland Center's monthly large item pickup is Monday, June 22nd. Residents are reminded to have eligible items at the curb by 6 a.m. on Monday. Crews will begin collection Monday and continue citywide until complete. Please note that this is not a multi-pass pickup. Once crews have completed an area, they will not return later in the week. Pickup guidelines include maximum of 5 items per address. Items must be under 50 pounds and manageable by one person. No free-on appliances, yard waste, tires, hazardous waste, or construction debris. Items that exceed these limits or contain prohibited materials will not be collected. Residents with additional or oversized items can contact Republic Services directly to arrange a special pickup at resident cost or transport items to their Boscobel facility. The city appreciates residents' cooperation in helping keep Richland Center clean and safe. The Richland Center Parks and Recreation Department will be hosting Kids Night Out tonight from 5 until 8 o'clock at the Richland Center Community Center. Kids enjoy a night of fun, games, movies, and snacks. Some of the recreation programs kids will get the opportunity to experience are Crafty Kids, Gym Games, Lego Madness, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cooking for Kiddos Movie Camp, and much more. Cost is $15. Register online at richlandcenter.activityreg.com. Stop in the Parks and Rec office up until 4:30 today or call the Park and Rec office at 608-647-8108, extension 1. The recent Big Top Parade in Baraboo successfully drew 25,000 spectators, injecting an estimated $2.28 million into the local economy. Favorably clear weather and a strong lineup of events kept downtown streets bustling and area hotels at capacity throughout the weekend. According to the Baraboo Area Chamber of Commerce, which utilized visitor spending data provided by Sauk County and the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, the weekend generated approximately $144,000 in combined sales and hotel room tax revenue. Executive Director George Althoff highlighted the strategic importance of such events, noting that the chamber's goal is to attract visitors for overnight stays, thereby supporting local hotels, restaurants, and retail shops. The annual parade, which pays homage to the community's rich circus heritage, is a collaborative effort between the chamber, Circus World, and the Big Top Parade Committee. Festivities this year expanded beyond the main procession to include live music from Professor Stitch's original circus band and film screenings at the Al Ringling Theater, including The Circus and The Greatest Showman. In celebration of America's 250th anniversary, the parade featured a patriotic theme, with local veterans serving as grand marshals alongside Circus World's red, white, and blue wagons. Co-chair Nancy Jenks emphasized that the patriotic focus was a fitting tribute for this year's event. The success of the Big Top Parade aligns with broader trends in Wisconsin's tourism sector, which reached a record-breaking $27 billion in revenue last year. Sauk County remains a significant driver of this growth, contributing over $2 billion in visitor spending, supporting 12,000 jobs and generating $156 million in tax revenue, ranking the county third in the state behind only Milwaukee and Dane. Iowa County emergency responders stayed busy Thursday, attending to several separate incidents, ranging from traffic accidents to fire and utility hazards. Early in the day, the Iowa County Communications Center dispatched help to a car versus deer collision occurring near the intersection of U.S. Highway 18-151 and West Brigham Road. Personnel from the Barneveld Fire Department and Barneveld EMS, along with an Iowa County deputy, arrived on the scene to find that, fortunately, no injuries had been sustained. In the afternoon, around 1:30 p.m., units were redirected to the 4800 block of Sunny Ridge Road in Mineral Point, following reports of a tractor fire in a hayfield. The Mineral Point Fire Department and Mineral Point EMS responded promptly. The blaze was successfully extinguished, and once again, no injuries reported at the scene. Shortly thereafter, at 3:03 p.m., another alert prompted the Ridgeway Fire Department, Ridgeway First Responders, and Barneveld EMS to head to the 100 block of Well Street in the village of Ridgeway. Joined by an Iowa County deputy and Madison Gas and Electric, crews investigated a possible gas leak. The situation was safely handled, concluding a demanding series of calls for the county's first responders. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has released a preliminary estimate for May 2026 from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, highlighting a period of growth and stability in the state's labor market. According to the report, Wisconsin saw its total number of employed individuals reach 3,024,100, which marks an increase of 4,000 workers over the previous month and a gain of 5,800 compared to the same time last year. The state's labor force participation rate remained a strong point of the economy, holding steady at 64.4%. This rate continues to significantly outpace the national average, sitting 2.6 percentage points higher than the U.S. rate of 61.8%. The job market also showed positive momentum in the non-farm sector, with total non-farm jobs rising to 3,039,800. This represents a healthy monthly increase of 8,700 jobs across the state. Furthermore, Wisconsin's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate experienced a slight decline, settling at 3.4%. This local unemployment rate remains notably lower than the national figure of 4.3%, underscoring a competitive and resilient economic environment for Wisconsin workers as we head into the summer months. Wizards of Rods Fun Run number 45 will get underway tonight and will run through Sunday at the Warren's Log Cabin and Grounds in Warren's. Tonight, there will be a cruise to a fish fry starting at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow is Vintage Fun Day, and many activities for all ages will be held, including games. Tom Vinopal is an organizer of the event.
Saturday, we wake up to games. We have some standard games that we've had for several years. One of them is the piston pitch. Take old pistons out of car engines and toss them, see if you can get them in a barrel. The other is the blind radiator fill. We have an old radiator set up. You put a blind in front of you. You have to hold it out arm's length and then blindfold that person. And the person that's facing them has to give them directions. Turn left, turn right, whatever, in order to get the water into the radiator. And then they measure out the amount. And that's always real popular because the person facing it is actually opposite direction.
Other activities tomorrow include flame-throwing vehicles, a pin-up beauty pageant, Little Miss Wizard contest, men's beard contest, potluck dinner, a 50-50 raffle, swap and vendors, and a poker run.
We've got a poker run Saturday evening. I think it's about 40 miles out through the countryside with five stops, and then the winner will get an award. First, second, third place, and then we usually draw a worst place.
Sunday will feature a pedal car, stroller, wagon, and mini bike competition, show shine display and voting, and a silent auction. There will be a DJ all 3 days. Awards will also be given out to the top vehicles shown. It will be a great time for car enthusiasts and families at the Wizards of Rods Fun Run number 45 tonight through Sunday at Warren's Log Cabin and Grounds in Warren's. You can find out more information at the Village of Warren's website and on the Wizards of Rods Facebook page. A Madison man was arrested following a traffic stop in Sauk County. James Everhart, 61, was taken into custody by the Wisconsin State Patrol DeForest Post for operating a motor vehicle under the influence for the fourth time. The incident began when a state trooper initiated a traffic stop for speeding on I-90-94 westbound near mile marker 92. During the interaction, the trooper observed signs of impairment and criminal activity, leading to the arrival of a canine unit. According to authorities, Everhart handed over a piece of suspected drug paraphernalia to the canine officer. A subsequent search of the vehicle uncovered additional suspected drugs and paraphernalia. Everhart faces charges for OWI fourth offense and drug possession, and a passenger in the vehicle was also arrested for drug possession. per Wisconsin Supreme Court Rule 23.6 regarding trial publicity. Charges are accusations and the defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. The Village Board of Spring Green is scheduled to convene for its next meeting Wednesday, June 24th at 7 p.m. The session takes place at the Spring Green Village office located at 154 North Lexington Street. Residents are encouraged to attend as the board moves through a diverse agenda of local governance and administrative matters. The meeting will begin with the consideration of the consent agenda, which encompasses routine items such as the approval of disbursements. Additionally, the board will review several license applications, including a temporary retail license for Pete's Sake at Veterans Park and multiple operators' licenses. In the realm of old business, the board will provide an update and potentially take action regarding the abatement of the property at 433 West Madison Street. This ongoing matter continues to be a point of focus for village officials. Transitioning to new business, the agenda includes the appointment of members to the library board and a discussion on resolution R2603, which pertains to the 2025 compliance maintenance annual report. Before concluding the public portion of the evening, there will be an opportunity for general public comment. The board is then expected to convene into a closed session to confer with legal counsel. This private discussion will specifically address strategy and receive guidance regarding the litigation or legal steps related to the abatement of the 433 West Madison Street property. Reedsburg Butterfest continues tonight through Sunday at Nishan Park in Reedsburg. There will be live music, food stands, and a carnival on the midway tonight and tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the Butterfest Parade will step off at 10:30 in downtown Reedsburg. And new this year, there will be a Butterfest 3-on-3 basketball tournament. The 2026 Butter Run and a Cornhole tournament will be on Sunday. A complete schedule and information can be found at butterfestreedsburg.org. Soldiers Grove Dairy Days will be held tonight and tomorrow at Soldiers Grove Park. Tonight, the Southwest Pullers Tractor Pull will be held at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, an antique tractor pull and beanbag tournament will be at noon. A pedal pull will begin at 5 o'clock. Crawford County Line Band will perform at 7 o'clock and a parade starts at dusk. Tomorrow will also feature volleyball and 4-H kid activities. There will also be a carnival and chicken queue. Food and beverage sales both days. You can find more information on the 2026 Soldiers Grove Dairy Days Facebook events page. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee is scheduled to convene Monday, June 22nd at 5 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom. The committee will address several key agenda items, starting with the discussion and potential action regarding to the transfer of the LWCF grant and property to the Richland School District. Additionally, the committee plans to review the Comprehensive Facility Improvement Plan, evaluate current county land assets, and explore potential new revenue sources. Finally, the session will include a review of both mandatory and non-mandatory services provided by the county. This meeting is open to the public. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. Donors of all blood types and those looking to give blood for the first time are encouraged to book an appointment in the coming days or weeks ahead. Upcoming blood drives include two today from 11 o'clock till 5 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Baraboo and from noon to 5 at the Iowa County Sheriff's Office in Dodgeville. Book a time to give blood or platelets now by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are welcome. The Muscadet Community Blood Drive was held Tuesday at St. John's Gym. During the event, 63 units of blood was collected for the American Red Cross. Registration volunteers were Kate Frazier and Jackie Schmadick. St. Peter's Lutheran Church served refreshments and provided homemade baked goods. The next Muscadet Community Blood Drive will be Tuesday, August 25th from 11:30 to 5:30. You can schedule an appointment now. Senator Ron Johnson chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, has released a comprehensive report detailing what he describes as a significant government scandal involving the suppression of COVID-19 vaccine safety signals. The report, titled Unmasked, How Biden Health Officials Purposely Turned a Blind Eye Toward COVID-19 Vaccine Safety Signals, alleges that federal health officials were aware of serious adverse event signals as early as March 2021, but chose to withhold this information from the American public. The investigation found that officials within the Food and Drug Administration were briefed on flaws in their analysis of the vaccine adverse event reporting system, which effectively masked early safety signals. When an updated algorithm was applied less than a month later, it identified 25 serious safety signals, including sudden cardiac death, stroke, and pulmonary infarction. Despite these findings, the subcommittee claims that officials ordered analysts to cease their work and publicly maintained that adverse reactions were rare and mild, prioritizing the prevention of vaccine hesitancy over public disclosure. Furthermore, the report highlights a concurrent investigation by the National Institutes of Health into neurological injuries. The findings suggest that while clinical researchers were treating individuals with injection-related injuries, participants were allegedly instructed not to discuss the study publicly. Senator Johnson notes that guidance for physicians was not provided in a timely manner, leaving many medical professionals unaware of how to treat these specific conditions. This lack of transparency, the senator argues, denied millions of citizens their right to fully informed consent. In addition to the conduct of health agencies, Senator Johnson has criticized major media outlets for what he terms a media blackout regarding the subcommittee's findings. After mainstream newspapers declined to publish his editorial on the subject, the senator released the piece via social media to bypass traditional channels. He contends that the sheer volume of adverse event reports should have triggered an immediate public warning and calls for increased journalistic scrutiny into the federal government's handling of the pandemic safety data. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, joined by a coalition of colleagues, has introduced the Protect Our Polls Act, a legislative effort designed to safeguard the constitutional right to vote and prevent federal interference at polling locations. This initiative comes in direct response to actions and statements from President Trump, who has frequently floated the possibility of deploying immigration and customs enforcement and military personnel to local polling stations. The proposed bill aims to defend free and fair elections, preserve the apolitical nature of our military, and protect service members from potentially illegal orders. Senator Baldwin emphasized the importance of ensuring that Americans can cast their votes without intimidation. The president's rhetoric regarding the deployment of armed federal agents to sites such as schools, churches, and fire stations has raised significant concerns about the potential for voter intimidation. Critics argue that these efforts are part of a broader strategy to exert federal power to influence electoral outcomes and punish political opponents. The Protect Our Polls Act would close existing loopholes by requiring Congress to pass a joint resolution of approval before the president is authorized to deploy troops or federal law enforcement to election sites. Under the bill, the president would be mandated to provide Congress with intelligence, legal justification, and evidence that state or local authorities are unable to handle a threat on their own, at least 48 hours prior to any deployment. Additionally, the legislation would prohibit military personnel and federal agencies from accessing election records protected under federal law and reaffirm that election administration should remain under civilian control, free from military interference. The introduction of this bill occurs amidst a backdrop of various efforts by the president to impact the 2026 elections. Reports indicate that several of the president's appointees have declined to rule out the use of federal forces at polling places. Furthermore, the president has advocated for the nationalization of voting procedures in numerous states and has taken steps to restrict mail-in voting. These actions include an executive order concerning non-citizens and proposed rules from the United States Postal Service that could threaten ballot delivery in states that do not comply with voter information requests. In Wisconsin, communities have already faced delays in ballot processing, hindering the ability of some citizens to have their votes counted. The president's recent actions also include frequent claims regarding rigged elections, the deployment of FBI agents into Milwaukee to investigate the 2020 election results, and attempts to seize ballots in states like Georgia, Michigan, and Arizona, alongside lawsuits challenging voter rolls in dozens of states. Acquittal for a driver involved in a fatal, highly publicized crash in Milwaukee. Judge David Swanson read the verdicts Thursday in Milwaukee County Court in the trial of 43-year-old Amandria Brunner, charged in connection with a crash that killed two Marquette University lacrosse players last September. Brunner was acquitted of six felonies, including homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle, in the deaths of 19-year-old Scott Michaud and 20-year-old Noah Snyder. The driver of the Jeep they were passengers in, 21-year-old Peter McColgan, is charged with two counts of homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle. Brunner's defense acknowledged she was drunk when the crash occurred, but argued McColgan was responsible as he was speeding and attempting to beat a yellow light. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled against a race-based college grant program, calling it unconstitutional. The unanimous decision released Thursday saw conservative Justice Annette Ziegler authoring an opinion in which she was joined by conservative justices Rebecca Bradley and Brian Hagedorn and liberal Janet Prostasiewicz. The court's three other liberal justices wrote a concurring opinion. The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty represented plaintiffs and called the ruling, which will end the state's minority undergraduate retention grant, a major win for students. The program provides $2,500 annually for Black, Indigenous, Hispanic, and certain Southeast Asian students attending private, tribal, or technical colleges. Wisconsin voters in November will be asked to approve a constitutional amendment to prohibit consideration of race by the UW system or state government. The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, WATA, is launching the Summer Blooms digital passport, inviting visitors to explore the state's most beautiful flower farms, lavender fields, farm markets, and U-Pick destinations. This free digital pass, available from June 20th through August 31st, serves as a mobile companion for anyone looking to discover Wisconsin's vibrant floriculture landscape. With instant access to over 34 premier destinations, travelers can plan trips through rolling hills and historic towns, visiting locations like Eugster's Farm Market, Schuster's Farm, Pristine Lavender, and many others. Activities range from picking sun-kissed flowers to participating in floral arranging classes and enjoying culinary treats like lavender cookies and artisanal ice cream. The pass is easy to use. Simply sign up for free at WIAGTourism, that is WIAGTourism.com/passports. It requires no app as it is delivered via text and email. Users can filter by location or treat type to plan their routes and earn points at every stop for a chance to win prizes, including admission tickets to Busy Barn Farm Adventures fall season. WATA, a nonprofit dedicated to promoting agricultural tourism, created this passport to connect travelers with authentic farm experiences. More information available at WIAGTourism.com.